This message is the property of H. David Edwards and Elam Bible Institute, and presented free of charge for private use only. Permission to use this message publicly may be requested by contacting Elam Bible Institute at 7245 College Street, Lima, New York, 14485.
We'd like to ask those of you who are guests with us this morning, if you'd stand, please. And I want those of you who are sitting now to welcome our guests. Would you do that? And we hope that the warmth of our welcome will in some way at least compensate for the somewhat inclement weather. You should have been here on Saturday. That was spring for this year. One of our guest speakers a couple of years ago suggested that good morning in New York is an exaggeration for 11 months out of the year. But if you think that this weekend was drastic for us, you should be thankful that we are not found in the Midwest, because at one location in the Midwest, they knew a difference in temperature over this weekend of 110 degrees. It went from 80 on Sunday to 30 below. That's chilly, Willie. I would like you, please, also to welcome Brother Charles Green. Brother Green, would you mind standing? I think this is probably the fourth time that you've been on campus, right?
I think so.
You came one time.
52.
Yes, that was. I was going to say you were a poor youth pastor, but that's not always true, is it? I was also going to say you were a young youth pastor.
Yes.
But that was true.
I'm still young.
That's right. And then you came at one time incognito.
I just came in to visit one time, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then you were with us in camp meeting last
year.
That's
right.
And you're back again. We're delighted that you're here.
With all of the academic facts that you have to remember, how do you keep up with all that?
I don't. It's all spontaneous.
Oh, I see.
You left Mardi Gras in order to come here.
Well, no, Mardi Gras was last week. I left that in order to go to the seminar last week. It's not difficult to leave Mardi Gras. I have not seen it for many, many years. It's an excellent time. Our people use Mardi Gras time as a time of vacation because they're off from their work on Monday and Tuesday. So it's one of the times that they have for holiday. They leave Friday afternoon and don't have to come back till Wednesday morning for their jobs. So they thank the Lord for Mardi Gras.
In one way or another.
Because they can go somewhere, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Brother Green is the pastor of the Word of Faith in New Orleans, Louisiana. He's the chairman of the Network of Christian Ministries, a member of the steering committee for North American Renewal Services Committee, which is organizing the New Orleans Conference in July of this year. He's a speaker who's earned an international reputation, and we're glad that you're with us. Any special word that you have for some of these folks who are not going to be able to be in the pastoral symposium?
You should be here.
That's right. Thank you.
One of the things that I learned when I was in school, we used to pray before every class, and I have this. I know your teachers will appreciate my saying this. We would have prayer before every class, and one day we were having an exam, and the teacher called on one young man to pray, and he said, "Oh God, help us all to make a good grade in Jesus' name, amen." And she said, "I don't believe that God heard that prayer." She said, our prayer should be something like this: "O Lord, help us to remember the things which we have learned." So my admonition is to keep on learning a lot of things, so at the critical crisis moment, you will be able to remember them.
Amen. Thank you. I talked with you last week about those things which I consider God has perhaps established as hallmarks for Elam. We talked about landmarks from our past. Pam Trice came to see me yesterday. She told me that on Saturday, when she was enjoying that beautiful weather, she was sitting on the front porch and saw a squirrel without a tail. She felt somewhat sorry for the squirrel and recognized that if he was to walk the high wire without his tail, it could have disastrous consequences. Or if he was tried to run along a branch, it could mean that without his tail he would fall. Pam then said that out of that the Lord spoke to her and told her that our past is our tail. She told me that in cults class she learned how many deviations there were to the Christian faith, which had their beginning in the 1800s and 19th century. And some of them had their beginnings because they had forgotten their past. Pam said, our past will provide balance for us. And in leaving me, she said, please don't lose your tail. Well, I don't want at any time to be without my tail. Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday. It's the last opportunity that those folks who choose to avail themselves of it have of indulging themselves before the period of Lent. I was raised in that part of the church which gave up Lent for Lent. I didn't know what Lent was. In fact, we paid no regard to the church calendar apart from Easter Day and Christmas Day and what we called Whitsun, what you call Pentecost Sunday. Those were the only three dates in the church calendar that were important for us. My father was born on March the 25th, which in England is known as Lady Day. It's one of four quarter days of the year. If you pay your rent every quarter, March the 25th is one of the days in which your rent is due. I remember when I was about 8 years of age, finding my father's birth date in the date book and finding underneath it in small print, Annunciation of BVM, going to my father and asking my father, what does that mean? And I remember my father's embarrassment because he did not know what it meant. If you think that March the 25th is 9 months before December the 25th, that will perhaps enable you to identify the significance of those words, Annunciation of BVM, Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is the date which is maintained in the church calendar in order to remember that the angels came and brought that wonderful message to her. When I have recognized what I have felt to be loss for myself because of my ignorance of the church calendar and because of the fact that we make so little reference to Lent, I have sought to compensate for it by, at some time or other during the period of Lent, reading all four gospel accounts that we have of the last week in the life of our Lord. Doing that in one sitting and then immediately taking a harmony of the gospels that I have, which is written in the first person. It is called The Master Speaks. It's written by Frank Laubach. It's very moving to read that so that you do not read, and then he said, or then Jesus said, but I said. That's never been without benefit for me. I've done it again this year. I did it last year. I've done it for several years. It's not a ritualistic thing for me. But whenever the idea occurs to me, I'm glad to be able to find the time to do it. This year, I've been impressed with the place of women in the life and ministry of our Lord. There were women who were those who ministered to him of their substance. It was a woman that Jesus selected as an example of faith. There was a woman who came to him and her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And the word of God says of her, she was a Canaanite. There is probably nothing more disparaging that could be said of anyone who came looking for our Lord's intervention. She was a Canaanite, and he ignored her. And out of concern because of the confusion that the disciples thought that she was causing, they pleaded with him, say something to her. And he answered them and not her, and said, it's not fit to take the children's meat and give it to dogs. It was then that she intervened and said, no, but it is right for the dogs to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And our Lord's response was, O woman, great is your faith. It was a woman who was chosen as the epitome of giving, because Jesus did then what he sometimes does now. He sat by the treasury and he watched them as they brought their offerings. And there were those who gave what we would consider to be significant contributions, about which he said nothing. And then there was the woman who came and she put in what we have called the widow's mite. And he said, she has given more than they all, because they gave out of their surplus. She has given out of her lack. It was a woman whom our Lord referred to as an example of faith. It was a woman whom our Lord referred to as an example of giving. And it is a woman who expressed more love to our Lord than any other. You will remember that there was that woman who came and anointed his feet. And in one crucial act of love and affection, she gave to him what would probably amount to about $25,000 or $30,000. If you look at places where the then currency is referred to in the New Testament, it's not unreasonable for you to conclude that the value of that perfume with which she anointed him was about a year's salary, about $25,000 or $30,000. And I suggest for you that if that were to happen today, there are probably many of us whose response would be not unlike the response of some of his disciples. And we would say, like they said, would it not have been better if this had been sold and the money so released used to feed the poor? But Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, this shall be told as a memorial for her. There was no one who loved him in the way that she did. A woman who was chosen as the epitome of faith, a woman who was chosen by our Lord as indicating the height of giving, a woman who was spoken of by our Lord as being the epitome of love. And there was the woman who is, for all of us, I would trust, the supreme illustration of obedience, the mother of our Lord. I must tell you that I cannot wholly explain for you the changed perspective that I have of the mother of our Lord, which has come to me within the last year. I do not worship Mary, but I've come to have a new respect and a reverence for her that I never previously had. I think she's probably the most misunderstood woman in the whole of human history. There's hardly a place where you find reference to Mary in the Gospels where there is not the possibility, if not the very obvious record, of misunderstanding. That was how it happened in the beginning. Let me ask you, how would you feel if your teenage daughter was to come home and announce to you that she is pregnant? And when you ask her, who is the father, she would say, God. What would your response be? What would your reaction be if your fiancé was to announce to you that she is pregnant and you were to say, how does that happen? And she was to say, an angel visited me. Would your reaction not be very much like that of Joseph, who was minded to divorce her, but because of his love for her, he wanted to do it privately? She asked the question, how shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the answer was, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And we recognize that as an extraordinary privilege, but there was the burden of her shame that she bore for more than 30 years, because when he was a grown man, there were those who spoke about Jesus behind their hands, and they said, we are not illegitimate. We were not born of fornication. And the suggestion, of course, is, but you were. And everybody knew about it. We meet him in the temple. And with the anxiety that would be characteristic of any mother, she blamed him for the fact that they had lost him. What did you do to us? Who had done it to who? Who had lost who? But then she said, didn't you know that your father and I were seeking you? And he said, did you not understand that I must be about my father's business? She said, your father and I. He said, my father. Don't you perceive that that is in the nature of a rebuke to Mary? And when we find him at the wedding, Mary felt about her firstborn the way that every other mother has felt about her firstborn son, that he's God's answer for a lost world. Every mother has felt that way. She knows better than anyone else that he really was born of a virgin. For 30 years she has kept this in her heart. And when they run out of wine, she turns to him and said, this is your chance. Get with it. And the rebuke is obvious. What concern is that to thee or me? And there was a time when there were so many who gathered to hear him that his mother could not find her way into the house. And word was brought to him, your mother is looking for you. And his response was, who is my mother? How do you suppose that that mother felt? Those of you who are mothers, how would you feel if your son was to speak of you in that way in public? And there was the time when there were those who saw him, and their response was, your mother must be fortunate to have a son like you. And his response was, no. And later he was to say, the fortunate mothers are those who never gave birth. And how would you feel if you were his mother and to hear that from him? She was there at the end. She was the only one who was there at the beginning who was also there at the end. She was there at the beginning by the Father's choice. She was there at the end by her choice. And in the beginning, she was to say, how can this thing be? And in the end, that must have been in her heart. How can this be? In the beginning she had said, how can this be to me? And in the end she was must have been saying, how can this thing be happening to him? In the beginning she had said, be it unto me according to thy word. And in the end he was saying, be it unto me according to thy word. And if ever there is a time when a woman wants to be close to her son, it must be when he is dying. But when he was dying, he turned to another man and said, John, that's your mother. And he turned to his mother and said, Mother, that's your son. And I understand something of why it was necessary for him to say that, but I wonder about her. She said, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. I've never heard a Protestant speak of the Blessed Virgin. And she did not say, from henceforth all generations to Martin Luther shall call me blessed. She said, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And I wonder about the pain that she knew. Misunderstood then, I believe that she is misunderstood now. It was a woman of whom our Lord spoke as having great faith. It was of a woman of whom our Lord spoke as having given a great gift. It was a woman of whom our Lord spoke as having showed great love. And it was a woman of whom the Word of God indicates that she gave great obedience. I want to say to you ladies who are here, let me say this. One of the things that is in our past that is no longer with us is that chapels used to be segregated. I was sorely tempted to talk to the deans and ask them to do that again this morning. Let me say to you ladies who are here, there is a ministry and an influence that you can exercise that you must not lose. There are times when we men chafe under the restraints that you impose upon us. But you must continue to exercise those restraints. There are pressures in our society to which we are all prone. And I pray that you women who are here will find the grace of God to stand against them and to resist them wherever and whenever they are in conflict with what this word provides for you. You ought not to desire to imitate us. It's your difference from us that makes you attractive. I have a mother. I have a sister. I have a wife. I have two daughters and one granddaughter. And my prayer is that they, and my prayer for you women this morning, is that you will be all that God wants you to be as women, which is not to be like us. It is possible that even now you can demonstrate a faith which is beyond us, a love which we cannot imitate, a giving which we cannot imitate, and an obedience which we strive after but cannot provide. I'd like to ask the women who are here this morning, if you'll stand, please. I trust that you're proud of the dignity that God has given you, that you do not in any way feel yourselves to be inferior. I trust that you will find, by the grace of God, the role that God has intended that you should fill, because it's one that we cannot hope to fill, and that you will be content under God, not simply content, but that you will be eager under God to exercise the kind of restraints on our society that only you can exercise. I would like to ask you men who are here now, if you look around, and I'm going to ask you men to pray for the women who are here. While you're still sitting, just where you are, close your eyes and pray. Thank you. You may be seated. I recall a woman saying to me, I don't want you to treat me like a woman, I want you to treat me like a person. So I said, now I know two kinds of persons, one male, one female. How do you want me to respond to you? God help us. Thank you. You are dismissed.